Welcome to the South Shore's Morning News Weekend Review Podcast. I'm Rob Hackelow. Listen for the next 30 minutes as we take a look back at some of the big interviews from the week on the South Shore's Morning News, which airs live weekdays from 5 to 10 a.m.
Very special indeed, Christine, for the South Shore's Morning News. And every week at this time, you know who we talk to, Bob Taravecchia. Bob is the chair and CEO of Coastal Heritage Bank. One community, many individuals. One bank that's perfect for you, Coastal Heritage Bank. Growing together, member FDIC, member DIF. Bob, good morning.
Hey, Robert. Hey, Christine. The only reason why I'm a special guest is because you folks make me feel special. That's the only reason.
Well, I have to say it's a treat for us to get to talk to you every
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. Always good topics.
It's one of my highlights of the week, actually. No, I mean that. It's true. It really is. I'm sure Christine agrees as well. We have a lot
I
of
concur.
Fun. Because we cover so many different things in this segment once a week, which is what we're going to do today.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. And that's a high pressure, Rob. I hope I can live up to the billing. So I texted Rob earlier and Christine and said just a kind of a potpourri of topics this morning. So nothing deep we're going to get into, but just a couple of things. Some light, some have nothing to do with finance. Number one, first and foremost, today is Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. Mm-hmm. And I think we would be remiss 82 years ago today. The Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. 2,403 Americans were killed tragically. And the very next day, FDR declared war on Japan, and we entered World War II. And it's interesting, you know, being a bank that's been around 140 years or so, we have to keep a lot of records, permanent records, and some of them are the minutes books of the meetings. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time moving a bunch of these books from, this is years ago, from one vault to another, and I just started leafing, you know, through them. And it happened to be, I saw the board meeting of the bank the day after Pearl Harbor Day, and it just kind of struck me as I was reading that. And it was just a regular day, and they did their business and memorialized it as such. But to think that the people around that table that were transacting business, their state of mind that day they mm-hmm. met, the yeah. day after the U.S. was attacked. So it's always good to remember our history and, you know, those that went before us.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Yeah. Wow. Pearl Harbor.
Amazing.
Yeah, thinking about that. And I imagine, Bob, you know, thinking about you as someone that appreciates and respects history, going into those bank meeting records, I didn't even think about that, but how fascinating it would be to see what was written on historic days of note, including the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very poignant, and it's kind of sobering, right? I mean, because when we live in the present moment, you know, like 9/11, we lived through, and I wasn't old enough, but you know, people that were with tragically John Kennedy getting killed, mm-hmm. everyone, you know, time stops. People remember where they were, they remember what happened. I think, to some extent, what happened in Israel on October 7th is something that
yep.
People with a conscience will remember. I do think that those are points in time that we may not really understand the full gravity of it until somebody is looking back on it 80 years from now and look back on those times. So, yeah, it's very interesting to see and think about those things. On a brighter note, one thing I wanted to tell you, I went to Christina, have you ever gone to an a cappella group?
Yes, in fact, I used to sing in an a cappella group in high school.
Oh, wow. I didn't
know. You did not.
Yes, I did. I did. I sang in an a cappella group and a madrigal singers group, too.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. You are so accomplished. Well, I went last night
you could
to
be
the
my
MGM
agent.
Music Hall. Straight No Chaser. Have you ever heard of them?
Oh, they're awesome. I've seen them on Channel 2.
Oh, okay. I saw them last night live, MGM
awesome.
In Fenway. They were amazing, and I didn't know what I was getting into. I got a
oh,
my
they
brother-in-law
are very
called.
Good.
And, oh, my goodness. They were unbelievably, I mean, I'm hooked. Nine gentlemen, and they are, and the gentleman that does the percussion, you know, I thought that they had a backup music with like a. I'm like, where's the drum set?
No.
And then about
it's
halfway
the guy in
through
the
their
corner.
Set, it's the guy in the corner, and I was mesmerized. I followed that dude around the rest of the night up with my eyes.
Oh, well, so that was great.
They are good. They put on a terrific show. Like I said, I've only seen them on TV. Would love to see them in person.
Yeah, it was a few years ago. They were. I was lucky enough to see them at the music circus, Christine, when they came one year.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, one summer. It was several years ago now. But Straight No Chaser. I guess whenever they're in town, you got to catch them. So Bob did last night.
I did. It was great. It was called Slaying It, and so they did. The first set was. It was cute. The first set was just contemporary music. You know, they did one set on like Michael Jackson, and they did one on Taylor Swift. It was hysterical. They did a bunch of hers. They said if you couldn't make her show, we'll bring it to you. And they did about 5 minutes of Taylor Swift, and they pulled it off. It was really funny.
Great
group. On the business side of the ledger, here we go.
When old Santa gets into town, it's the holiday season, and Santa Claus has got it.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? With no music. With no instruments.
Just their voices.
It's magical. I don't know how they do it, but far, far more talented than I'll ever be. On the business side of the ledger, just really quickly, since we talked last week about interest rates,
yes.
The long-term end of the curve continues to come down. The 10-year Treasury finished yesterday at 4.12%. And if you're interested in tracking mortgage rates, they continue to trend downwards. They're in the sixes now, which is significantly lower than what they were just a couple weeks ago in the 8% range. So that is something to be continue to look forward to as we look into 2024, that perhaps if the longer-term rates continue to trend downward, that could pretend to be maybe a more robust sellers, buying and selling market in the housing market. And last but not least, there was a case in front of the Supreme Court called Moore versus the U.S., and it's about what is income. It's an income tax case, which is normally very boring. You know, it's not Miranda v. Arizona or Brown v. Board of Education. But from a person like me that follows income tax and finance, it's a unbelievably important case about really what constitutes taxable income as it relates to the 16th Amendment of the Constitution, which was enacted in 1913. And the essence of this case was, and I'm not going to get into the, I don't want to bore people, but whether unrealized gains on investments or unrealized gains can be taxable, could be considered taxable. So the essence of this case was a couple that had a passive investment in a company in India, and over the years they never took distributions, and the value of that asset had built up over time, say 30 years. And when they went to the issue became whether or not that under a 2017 tax law that had gone into effect, whether or not that was taxable income, and they were charged tax on it. And they're protesting that tax. So the implications of this is rather profound, because there are people in Washington that want to create wealth taxes, and basically saying, it's to say to somebody, if people have over $100 million in wealth, they should pay more in taxes. So what they want to do is create a wealth tax, which is not really based on income, but what people have as the value of their assets. And the implications of this could be profound, because if allowed to tax on unrealized income, you could see someday, I know it's only geared to the $100 million people today, but over time, taxes typically trickle down to everybody. And if you think about it, just think about your house. You buy your house, 30 years ago for X. Today it's worth double that. Should you have to pay taxes on the buildup of that income, of the value of that property over time?
No.
And, that's the implication it could have.
Yeah.
So it was in front of the Supreme Court. They haven't ruled on it yet.
Oh,
I'm just thinking, wouldn't that also be, talk about an influence, about people not wanting, putting a kibosh on people trying to be successful? It's like they get to a certain income level and to say, okay, you've got what it sounds like, you've got too much money, you won't miss it, and you should pay more. I mean, how fair is that?
That's the absolute essence of a wealth tax. And, and can you imagine?
Do well, but don't do too well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go along with
so,
that.
But keep an eye on this one. You know, it was in front of the Supreme Court this week. The arguments, the oral arguments, they won't rule on it until sometime in 2024. But it could have profound implications. It's Moore versus U.S. And keep an eye on it. It could have implications down the line.
That is important.
And I thought that was interesting. Yeah, it's an interesting tax case.
Ooh, always looking to get more money. More money from you, for me. All right. Very good. All right. Bob Taravecchia, Coastal Heritage Bank. He's with us every Thursday at this time on WATD.
What? It's a cheery holiday thought.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's to take more money and then I'll do my four-day work week. All right. Thank you, Bob. All right. Bob Taravecchia every Thursday at this time on WATD. No, it's interesting, though. It's an interesting case to watch, that's for sure. The South Shore's Morning News continues. I'm Rob Hakala with the morning team. Every week at this time, we check in with our tech guy, David Snell, over at Act Smart IT in Wareham. David, good morning.
And good morning to you, Rob.
All right, here we go. This week's topic, Microsoft Copilot, your everyday AI companion. Are
here
you
we
ready?
Go.
Yeah, all right. So, well, we got a lot to unpack here, David. Okay, so I've never even heard of this.
Yeah, no, it's been getting a lot of airplay recently, but it's been around for a little over a year now. But they're just finally releasing it to us, the end user, to be the beta tester, I guess, again, which is what we always do with Microsoft product.
Absolutely.
So Copilot is kind of the replacement for Cortana, who went away globally back in June. So it's no longer there. So now Copilot is built into Edge, built into Windows, and you're going to find it built into Bing Chat as well. So it works pretty well. It's like any other AI. You need to have a use to use it. But if you do, I think you can be pretty surprised at what this can do for you.
Okay. Can you give us a few examples of what it could do?
Well, for the user like us, just regular users, not trying to, let's say, run a sales and marketing division or whatever, you can go in and ask it questions, ask it how to do things. For instance, I went in and asked Copilot to help me describe Copilot to a 10th grader.
Oh.
And he came up with a couple of paragraphs. Makes pretty much sense. Some of the punctuation needed help, but it's an easy way to explain what Copilot is, being that it's a smart tool that can help you with many tasks on your computer, such as writing, searching, learning, and creating. Hmm. And you can use it either through your keyboard, or if you have a microphone, you can chat to it.
Oh, okay. All right, so that's pretty good. Copilot. Okay, so it's there along with you, I guess, for the ride.
Yeah, you'll see it in Edge, and at some point in time, I'm sure you're going to see it in the taskbar on your Windows 10 and Windows 11 computer, because they want you to use it. Microsoft obviously wants to be the AI champion, fighting against Bard with Google and OpenAI's ChatGPT. So this is just their entry into the fray, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, we know certainly. Over the last few years, they've put a lot of money into it and acquiring other things, I guess, to make this all work, right?
They have, and they have also put a lot of money into ChatGPT, as I'm sure you've heard. there's a lot of money going into AI. There's a lot of fear about AI in the industry and with just normal people who say that this is going to take over our jobs and all of that kind of stuff. In some cases, it will. It'll take over the menial jobs, the repetitive type jobs. But at this point in time, it's not going to sit in your chair and do what you need to do.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Did you read anything, I guess, about what this new quantum computer is supposed to? I mean, did that get you all excited? I mean, it sounds futuristic. Something about IBM, which, is a name that's been around since HAL 9000.
IBM.
Right. I mean, that was featured prominently in that film. And they're still around.
Yep, absolutely. And they're still trying to get market share or increase market share.
Yeah.
So the quantum computer,
what does that mean?
because you're right, this comes from IBM, and there's decades of expertise in quantum AI-driven power. So this is, again, another AI,
okay.
And it uses... Or it's its own computer, but it uses less resources than like IBM's have and all the ones that they've had. So this is powered by AI, which is where everything is going. It's just massive amounts of data that you have available to you with this quantum computer.
Wow. It's fascinating. It says they hope to shape the future of everything.
That's what everyone's saying AI is going to do. I'm just kind of nervous about what that everything is.
Yeah.
Who's going to have control of it?
What does that mean? I would more information, please. The AI says I'll get back to you on that.
Exactly. Well, they're going to give you more information, but they're going to give you what they've been trained to give you. So it may not be totally the truth.
That is true. That is true. So, based on what we've talked about in these past segments that you have talked about, it'll find what's there, but what's there may not be the truth. So, well, this is interesting. Microsoft, again, as you heard, putting a lot of effort into Copilot, and it is going to be part of, as you mentioned, all those various tools. So they're going to want you to use it, and you've got information about what it is and what it could potentially do for you, right?
Yes, you can use it, and obviously Microsoft had to roll this back to Windows 10. It was originally only Windows 11, but the installed user base of Windows 10 is so large they could not leave them behind. So everyone will have access to it in their Edge browser and Bing chat, and it's easy to find, easy to use. And I suggest everyone just play with it a bit just so you don't fall behind what's happening in this segment of the industry.
Mm-hmm. David Snell, AxSmartIT.com, right? That's the website?
Exactly. Go to axsmartit.com, get my blog link, and a lot of information about Copilot.
All right. David Snell, AxSmartIT in Wareham, our tech guy. Thank you, David.
Have a great day, Rob.
You too. It's David Snell, AxSmartIT.com, AxSmartIT.com. The South Shore's Morning News. I'm Rob Hackelaw with the morning team. Well, as promised, it's time now for our South Shore Chamber of Commerce segment. In studio every week at this time, Peter Foreman. He is president and CEO of the South Shore Chamber. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, Rob. You know, earlier this year, Curry College, a college well known to you, you being one of the more famous graduates as the voice of the South Shore, they went on the search for a new president, and they did something which I always find interesting with organizations. They reached outside of their industry sector to get somebody with a different type of background to lead the college. They chose Jay Gonzalez. I knew Jay a little bit when he was the senior cabinet officer under the Deval Patrick administration. And then he ran for governor in 2018.
Yes.
He's got a business political background. And the college board reached outside of their comfort zone to bring somebody with a different perspective in to lead the college. And I thought it would be great to introduce him to the ATD audience this morning. So please welcome Jay Gonzalez, the new president of Curry College.
Well, good morning, President.
Good morning, Rob and Peter. And I really appreciate your having me. And Peter, thanks for everything you do as the head of the South Shore Chamber. You guys do a great job and appreciate what you do for all of us on the South Shore.
Well, thanks. Curry has been a great partner to the Chamber and to the business community on the South Shore. I think everyone looks at colleges and thinks, well, you just graduate students. No, they're huge economic engines that impact the entire region that they operate in.
Yeah, Curry is. It has been a great school, and it sounds like it's going to continue to be a great school. And President Gonzalez, so great to have you on the show. And let's dive into the topic, because Peter was mentioning that your background was more in politics, and that's where I certainly heard your name. So you're not from the higher education industry. It's not as though you've been president of different colleges and made your way around that way. What made you interested in this particular job?
Well, Rob, first, it's great to meet you, and I understand you're a Curry alum, so you're clearly a good, wholesome person and have been very successful, I know, so it's great to meet you. I wanted to get into higher ed because I was at a point in my career where I wanted to do something that, felt like it mattered and was making a meaningful difference in people's lives. College was transformative for me. I know it is for many other people. And I got the good fortune and privilege to be invited by the board to serve as president of Curry College, and I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, that's wonderful. You represent a familiar strategy on leadership. Pick someone outside of the industry to help look at things a little different. So how are you looking at Curry and higher education coming from typically, you know, again, outside that inner circle?
Yeah, well, I am a non-traditional candidate for a position like this. It's usually academics who end up leading colleges, and academics is the main product we offer, but at the end of the day, it's not just an academic exercise, it's a business. We need to be sustainable to deliver on our mission, and I've got a background in as a business leader, as a leader in government, a lot of experience doing the types of things that a leader at a college or university needs to do, and so I think it's a good fit. We'll find out. I've only been here 4 months. I have a lot to learn, and but so far, so good.
Well, tell me about what the environment is that small colleges now operate in. You would consider still Curry to be on the smaller side. I know it's grown, but it still has that feeling where you can talk to the teachers, and some of the classes are smaller.
Yeah, it's one of the best things about this place. We've got about 2,000 students. It is a small college on a beautiful campus in Milton. But there are a lot of challenges, as you mentioned, facing colleges like us today because there are a lot less high school students than there used to be based on demographic changes. A lot more people are questioning whether it's worth the cost of going to college as opposed to going to a 12-week coding boot camp or something. And so it's a tough time, but Curry has a lot going for it. We offer a great value proposition for our students, whether they want to get into nursing or business or communications. We've got a lot of relevant majors, and we make sure our Curry grads are ready for their careers and are positioned to be successful in their career and life. So I'm optimistic about the future for Curry.
Well, I know, as you mentioned, you've been there just for a short time so far. Any early surprises or first impressions? I mean, you get excited, you take the job, and then now you end up on campus and you say, oh boy, no. What have you found out so far?
There have definitely been a few surprises, but I think the best part of what I've learned since being here is how great the students are, and you were one of them, Rob. So I know you know, but the students here are here because they really want to be here. They want to, they care about whatever career path it is they're pursuing. They want to be successful. They want to be prepared to do what they need to do to position themselves for better quality of life and to pursue the career they want to pursue, and so they're determined. The other thing I've learned about Curry since being here is this is a great, strong community. We've got a beautiful, welcoming campus. We have faculty members who care deeply about our students and engage with them one-on-one. We've got a team here who is here because they care about this place and delivering on our mission for all the students who come. And it's a very caring, supportive culture here at Curry College, which is one of the things I love about it.
What are some plans that you have, Jay, yourself, that you'd like to see maybe at Curry in the future?
Well, one of the things we're doing right now is we just launched a new strategic planning process. I'm still getting my arms around the place. In light of the challenges in the industry that I was describing, we've got to figure out what are our real strengths, what's our unique value proposition we're offering to students, and we really need to lean into that so that we can generate more enrollment and make sure that we're continuing to deliver value for all of our students. So we're in the middle of that process right now, but there's a lot of good stuff happening here. This is a great place. The students who are here who graduate go on, 99% of them go on to get jobs or pursue graduate degrees. And so we just got to keep that going.
Jay, one of the issues we recently had in our economics study was that a large exodus of people from Massachusetts are in that 24 to 27 age bracket. They're coming here or grew up here, going to college, and then moving out because of housing. Any sense on how colleges can play a role in connecting students more to the area and helping out with the housing issue and keeping them here?
Well, one of the things we need to do, and our core mission is to prepare our students for career and life success. And if we do that, it positions them to get higher paying jobs that is going to make housing more affordable for them and other life costs. So we are part of the answer. It's why college and a place like Curry is so important for preparing that age bracket that you're talking about to be able to stay in Massachusetts and be successful here. I want to note that we also have programs for adult learners in that age category, not the traditional college student age, both here in our Milton campus and at a Plymouth campus that we have, where we provide continuing education for adult learners who are pursuing, who hadn't finished college and are trying to do so, whether it's in nursing or business or accounting. So we have a number of programs in those areas to help that exact population.
Well, that's great. President Jay Gonzalez is the new president of Curry College. I am a graduate in 1996 and a school that I was very excited to attend. Obviously, for me, the radio station, Jay, was the draw. But it was really, you know, more about the feeling on campus. I mean, it was great to have a radio station like the one that Curry has. And also because of the smaller classes and the connection that you have. And you know, Jay, from politics, education, it's about making those connections. And Curry has this great network that you can rely on and reach back as you try to start your career.
We've got great people like you, Rob. I understand you guys have interns of ours from our communications program here. And you're absolutely right. Those types of connections and real-life opportunities are what get our students ready to be successful in their careers. And you're a great example of that.
Well, President, I want to bring over our founder and president here of WATD Radio. That's Mr. Ed Perry, who wanted to congratulate you, Jay, on becoming president of Curry College. And also, he's got a connection to Curry as well. Ed.
Good morning. Good morning. I just wanted to let the folks at Curry know how proud I was to represent the college at the FCC to get them the radio license that has really been turned into a wonderful radio station. It's on the air on FM, and it was 25 or 30 years ago that I was asked by the college, hey, any chance that we could get a radio station of our own? And I said, well, let's see what we could do. So I headed down to Washington and met with some of the people at the FCC, and then determined that they would be happy to grant a license if I could find a frequency that wouldn't interfere with somebody else. And we were able to do that. And for certainly three decades, the college has done wonderfully with that radio station. It's opened so many doors for so many mm-hmm. young people. And I was so proud and continue to be so proud to have represented the college and to have worked with the college and to have even taught a few classes at the college probably 25, 30 years ago. But it's a great place.
I did not know that. So thank you for everything you did to help support our radio station. And that's great to know. It is one of our points of pride at Curry College, and it does make a huge difference for our students who want to get into that field. So thank you for everything you did for Curry.
Well, thank you for everything that you and your students are doing for the broadcasting business, because we wouldn't have Rob here if it hadn't been for you, and Rob has been absolutely wonderful. He is a treasure here at WATD, and we appreciate that. But without you, we wouldn't have him. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Curry. Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, President Jay Gonzalez. And President, I'll ask you before we wrap up, what would the Jay Gonzalez Show feature for music?
Not a lot, actually. I'm much more a talk radio guy than a music show radio guy.
No, that sounds good. I'd listen. Well, President Jay Gonzalez, president of Curry College, it's been wonderful to have you on here and to meet you this way, and I look forward to seeing you on campus.
All right. Well, thanks, Rob, and thank you, Peter.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Peter. Thank you. Peter Foreman from the South Shore Chamber of Commerce every week at this time on WATD. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. As always, you can find us on your radio at 95.9 FM, mornings from 5 to 10, or online at 95.9WATD.com.
And you can catch up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can get the links at 95.9WATD.com/SS Morning News. And join us next week for another edition of the South Shore's Morning News Week in Review.